Kid Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided. Church, or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work, or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black? And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes sometimes?
That's right.
When we gonna start to see from someone else's eyes? I think it's time to come together. You and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference. Make the world. Somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided. Oh yeah, undivided. Oh yeah, we're all the same to God. No matter what we get is love. I'm tired of looking left or right, so I'm just looking. Time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Welcome back. I think we should start the second hour. Well, first of all, let's welcome back to Road Warrior Radio. This is the top of the second hour of today's broadcast. It's Tuesday, September 19th, 2023. And as I said in the first hour, I've said it before, I think that RBN is a unique, special place. You hear things in perspective that you don't hear other places. I think most things, without really getting into the specifics or the mechanics, you hear things here that do not really conform to narrative and myth-making. And I said a little bit more about that in the first hour, including how Friedrich Hayek wrote in the Road to Serfdom, Chapter 11, The End of Truth, that, you know, sometimes we get sucked into that without even realizing it. I think I've been guilty of it on more occasions than I'd like to admit. It happens. But I think this is a place where we resist that, and it feels somewhat discordant maybe to the unassuming ear, because most people don't realize they are part of what I have described recently as, you know, the way electricity works is through resistance. And so when you hear, you know, left and right constantly in conflict, how is that a thing that somebody would want to move an agenda forward? It works like electricity, basically. The way you steer it and direct it, the way the current works, is through resistance. And so you have these two polarized sides that are very tightly coordinated, always on point, always on message. And that's how things get steered. This is more of the open pasture, the open field. And there are folks with agendas, or, you know, things creep in. Sometimes unassuming. But I think generally speaking, this is a place where we engage in open discourse, open dialogue, civil discourse. That's what we strive for. That's what I strive for. And I think that's unique. As strange as it sounds to simplify it right down to the bare mechanics, the basic mechanics, I think that most things that we encounter are part of the myth-making process. And to take it a step further, and I'll just leave it at that, it's part of the Hellenistic impulse that is seeking to return everyone. Everyone has to go back to Genesis chapter 11. We have to rebuild the Tower of Babel. That will culminate in Psalm 2. And, you know, that's just the way that I see it. That's the way that I see things unfolding. That's the bigger, broader agenda. But who can deny that no matter where you live, for example, in America, no one is left alone? Why is that? Why can't people just be left alone? Why do we all have to constantly be coerced and influenced and persuaded and nudged? Why is that? An unrelenting impulse. Rhetorical question. So the video that I mentioned, speaking of the subscription-based economy, Aaron and Melissa Dykes talked about that over a series of videos recently, and the idea that you can, you know, anything can become a subscription. Speaking of water and selling people water, I mean, Culligan has been doing that for decades, right? We'll truck water to you and sell it to you. So, you know, you dispossess people or displace people, especially people who were there before you. There is the quote. I was thinking of this during the first hour when I was talking about this. From the outlaw Josie Wales. See if I can find it real fast, just to, and it's been, I think, borrowed several times. Yeah, that's it, I think. Chief Dan George from the outlaw Josie Wales, right? When the white man came, we had the land and they had the Bibles. Now they have the land and we have the Bibles. And that's, in essence, what we were hearing in the first hour when we played the clip, you know, listening to Noelani Ahia. That's the, you know, we played clips, was it last week or the week before? And I think, is she wearing a Haunani K. Trask shirt? She might be. But when we played those clips of Haunani K. Trask, that's what she was talking about, predatory Christianity. Not Christianity, but, you know, this religion with, you know, from a Jesuit perspective, the Jesuit impulse, really kind of the forerunner of the intelligence community, going around and finding out who's who in the zoo and what's going on, who has what. And that continues on to this day, by the way, using humanitarian front groups to do that kind of stuff. Anyway, speaking of the subscription-based economy, I want to give you the clip that I mentioned. If you doubt this, if you don't know, I mean, some people have been seeing this. They don't buying the new vehicles. I mean, it's happening. All of the auto manufacturers essentially are doing it, but most people don't realize, oh, that's what's happening. So did you know, for example, that you can pay a monthly fee for more horsepower? $60 a month will get you 60 more horsepower. Does that sound ridiculous to you? Especially if you grew up in the days of Motor City Muscle and that kind of stuff. It's not how it works. A subscription for more horsepower? Really? It's a thing. So here's the KTLA segment on it from June 28th of this year. Go ahead, please.
As if cars are not expensive enough, Mercedes has come up with a plan to make even more money from Benz owners. It's called an acceleration increase, meaning drivers can pay a fee for some extra horsepower with a monthly subscription. Now, this actually isn't super new. It's been happening since November of last year, but the story has gained a lot of traction lately. It's been shared a lot online, people just learning about it. Now, the subscription applies to the four electric Mercedes models, the EQEs and the EQSs, sedans and SUVs.
Okay.
For $60 a month, you get 60 extra horsepower. $90 a month gives you 80 more horsepower. Now, if you hate the idea of an auto renewal feature on a car that you already own,
I do.
You can cough up $2,000 right now for a permanent upgrade. Now, BMW quietly rolled out in America some of its new cars offering a subscription remote start program for a certain dollars a month. I think it's $10 a month to be able to start your car remotely. And then if you stop paying it, obviously you lose the feature. Some lawmakers want this outlawed. Very frustrating.
Does it end up on your like Apple subscription list and you can unsubscribe when you feel like it anytime?
Probably, yeah.
I mean, that's how Tesla works. Tesla has some subscriptions you could sign up for, then get rid of it, and it'll come off of your car. But I don't know.
It is horrific because, like, you just want to own your car, I think, for most people. You don't want to have to feel like you got to pay BMW or Mercedes forever. But I also think that this maybe has the opposite effect where, like, some people now will – I mean, I can just imagine some, like, Beverly Hills people are like, well, I pay $60 a month extra so I can go just a little bit faster in my Mercedes.
And they'll also be paying for a ticket.
There you go.
You're right about that. You're right about that.
So there you go. It's a thing. It's a real thing. And people are noticing. You know, the remote start, for example, you're trying to push the remote start button on your fob when you bought your new car and it's not working. This is why. And obviously there have been other things. This is a fascinating deal. And the way that the stuff is all progressing, so-called, is very interesting. You know, why, for example, does an automobile need to be a Wi-Fi hub? How is the automobile functioning better than a cell phone? And if you don't replace the car every 18 months, which obviously is the idea here, not just lease it, you can get a new one every 18 months. If you're not replacing it every 18 months, how is it pacing with cell phone technology, even though now we're hearing about hardware degradation, hardware is declining, and maybe Moore's Law is not in full effect as it once was. Anyway, this is strange stuff. That's just a side note. The subscription economy, perhaps best represented in examples like this. So back to the Maui story. We are all Maui. And we need to understand the significance of what happened recently and why it matters to all of us. And we will give you another installment in the interview. I mentioned in the first hour, we played a clip of Noelani Ahia, who did an interview join Nick Estes over at the Red Nation podcast. And that was a couple of weeks ago. Actually, it wasn't that long ago. It was September 8th. The full interview is titled Healing Maui with Noelani Ahia. And we are playing some excerpts from that. The one that we played in the first hour is titled Noelani Ahia, Lahaina Will Not Be Rebuilt as a Resort Town. And this excerpt is titled Noelani Ahia on the Historical Importance of Lahaina to the Kanaka Maoli. And you heard me say a couple of weeks ago, if people like Oprah and Jason Momoa and Dwayne Johnson and all these kinds of people, celebrities really, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, if they really want to help the people of Maui, the indigenous folks, best thing you can do is just leave them alone. Let them decide. Heard discussed on this broadcast, on this network, and other people have said it, you know, they should be able to convene their own groups as they see fit to rebuild. And like she said, you know, if you're fortunate enough, maybe you can be invited to that discussion. It shouldn't happen like it's happening. You know, we should play the Christine Borge clip from time to time, where she says, you know, she's a humble lady and business owner and so forth, and she says, you know, I guess you could call me a kapuna. She's one of the elders, but saying it humbly and saying, what in the world is going on here? You're having a meeting in Honolulu on Oahu. Why aren't you on Maui? Why aren't you in or nearby Lahaina? How can you be doing this and not informing the local people? And who gave you the authority to do this in the first place? Which gets back to my point about the concept of legitimacy that guys like Amitai Etzioni have been writing about for quite some time on communitarian and global sources of legitimacy. Which is crazy. On communitarian and global sources of legitimacy. And so, you know, it just comes right back to that question. Who's in charge? Who decides? Obviously, in this case, Josh Green thinks that he decides while he's the governor. But does he speak for his presumed constituency? I mean, the first problem is most of the local people that you talk to and that you hear on the videos that you see are they feel captive. They are not happy Americans, again, as Christine Borge said, for example. This is a de facto occupation, de facto government based on occupation and colonial influence, and they don't want it. They never have. So, like I said in the first hour, if this doesn't go through the way that bad guys intend, I would expect that it would there would be a tidal wave of this kind of stuff. Pushback. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Quick before we play the other clip, the video I alluded to earlier, TrueStream Media, well, I mentioned a few of them, but the one that I mentioned myth-making, you know, in reference to the myth-making, that was the, you know, the Burning Man video. They did the not-so-occult symbolism at Burning Man 2023. And again, I really think it should be called Wicker Man. If you've seen the Wicker Man movies, or you have read the book, then you understand the horrific significance. I talked about that not too long ago. And so anyway, I think calling it Wicker Man would be better. It's you know, it's so just, I don't understand how this is happening. People can, I mean, it's a testament to the quote attributed to Adam Weishaupt, "O foolish man, what can you not be made to believe?" That kind of thing. No, this is, it's just entertainment. And in the video, the not-so-occult symbolism at Burning Man 2023, I think that, again, speaking of getting sucked into things, it doesn't necessarily, you don't have to be consciously aware of it or consciously participating. If you read any of the esoteric stuff, you read the externalization of the hierarchy stuff, read, instead of reading that, maybe read some of the things that Gary Kaa has written on the, you know, along these lines. We played the videos that we played yesterday from the Magical Mystery Church YouTube channel talking about these kinds of things. You know, the idea of raising people's consciousness and awareness and making people politically active and but not necessarily consciously aware in all cases of what they are doing or what they're participating in or what the myth making represents. And so, you know, maybe we'll play this clip anyway. That was the video I was referring to, the not so occult symbolism at Burning Man 2023, and the person to whom I was referring was Carl Tykrib, the author of Game of Gods. Maybe we should play that excerpt, actually. A little bit of that. Maybe we can do that. Possibly we're running out of time, but maybe we can do that here real fast. If I can gather myself quick enough, a little bit. If that works now, great. If not, we'll just save it. Probably only need about 60 seconds of that or less. Can we do that? Maybe. Yeah, that's where we want to start. Go ahead when you're ready, if you're ready.
Be concerned about our friends who were there. Game of Gods author, Game of Gods, I can't even say it.
Game of Gods author Carl Tykrib. We went up, he lives in Canada. We went and visited him and did an interview with him about Burning Man a couple years back.
Upcoming film.
This is from The Club of Rome, Volume 1, Goals in a Global Community. These are the background papers for the Club of Rome report that was published, I believe it was published in the mid 70s or late 70s, Goals for Mankind. The question of myth. Oh, I'm sorry. The question of myth. It is this author's belief that the Western developed countries are among the best initial candidates for the myth-making project. The audience is quite large and relatively easily reached. The countries of this area, of course talking about the Western world, the countries of this area will be required to make some significant and sometimes drastic shifts of perception in order for the new international order to be fulfilled. Thus, it is very important for these societies to make a change in their value system. In addition, a shift in values in these societies should have a great impact on the rest of the world.
What the truth? You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now, I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Tehi Boutique Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Upcoming film.
This is from The Club of Rome, Volume 1, Goals in a Global Community. These are the background papers for the Club of Rome report that was published, I believe it was published in the mid-70s or late 70s, Goals for Mankind. The question of myth. Oh, I'm sorry. The question of myth. It is this author's belief that the Western developed countries are among the best initial candidates for the myth-making project. The audience is quite large and relatively easily reached. The countries of this area, of course talking about the Western world, the countries of this area will be required to make some significant and sometimes drastic shifts of perception in order for the new international order to be fulfilled. Thus, it is very important for these societies to make a change in their value system. In addition, a shift in values in these societies should have a great impact on the rest of the world. The Western countries, therefore, appear to be very good candidates for the reception of myths about a global society. By the late 1960s, early to mid-1970s, the real question was, that was hanging with the Club of Rome, hanging with the Stanford Research Institute, was, what will the new myth look like? What is the new myth that will give man his meaning, that will give man his purpose? And it was back to the Earth.
There you go. There you go. So, speaking of myth-making, it's been happening right before our very eyes for decades, and most people don't even realize it. It's the long game. It's, you know, assimilation. It's a war of attrition. Most of us don't even know there's a war going on, but there is. So There's that. We need to get to the other clip real quick while there's time. So again, just to round out the We Are All Maui discussion, another excerpt from the Healing Maui with Noelani Ahia interview, the Red Nation podcast, Noelani Ahia with Nick Estes on the Red Nation. This one is titled Noelani Ahia on the Historical Importance of Lahaina to the Kanaka Maoli. So can we play that one, please?
Can you talk a little bit about Lahaina and why it is such a sort of hub, like a cultural hub and a place where there's such, you know, embedded history for Kanaka Maoli people?
Absolutely. You know, Lahaina, going back as far as we have documentation, which because of our chants that were passed down orally, is thousands of years worth of mo'okuauhau or genealogy, and mo'olelo or stories about places that are significant and important to our people. And Lahaina is one of those places. Lahaina means the sweltering sun, but the original one of the older names of Lahaina is Lahaina Ikamalu Ulu Olele, and it's the place of the sheltering sun that's shaded by the flying breadfruit. So breadfruit is ulu. It's a major staple for a Kanaka Maoli diet. It's incredibly nutritious, and it's being used all over the world now to promote food sovereignty in underserved populations that don't have food sovereignty. So nutritionally, it's very important, but culturally, it's incredibly significant. And we have this mo'olelo, this story about one of our deities, Ku. And you have to understand, for us, our deities are elements of nature and elements of the cosmos that provide life, that allow us to live in a place and survive there. So we have this deity, Ku, and one of his many forms, he has 70 plus different faces, but one of his forms was as a husband whose family was in famine, and he sacrificed his life, and they planted him in the ground, and the ulu tree came out of it. And he made this sacrifice so that his family could eat, so that they could be abundant for time immemorial. So the ulu tree is very sacred to Lahaina. And pre-contact, there were ulu trees all over Lahaina. There was a big grove of ulu trees that shaded. You know, in our hydrology cycle, of course, the more trees we have, the more water goes up, the more rain we have. And Lahaina was also a very abundant place for rain and water. It was referred to as the Venice of the Pacific, which, you know, I'm not crazy about usually using Western terminology, but that imagery lets people know that there was water. It was not the dry, barren place that you find Lahaina to be today. So because of that water, in Hawaiian thinking, the word for fresh water is vai, and the word for wealth is vai vai. So if you have a lot of water, you have wealth, you have abundance. Basically, it means you can live there. So because of this abundance, there were a lot of food crops. Aside from ulu, we had our traditional kalo plant. And our kalo plant is also part of our one of our creation stories. We have many, but one of our creation stories where the first child was born, stillborn, and was planted into the ground. And out of that came the kalo plant. Again, to feed the next generations. So we see this theme about feeding being very, very important in our culture, because no water, no life, no food, no life. These are all the things that allowed us to exist in the most remote location in the world for over 1,000 years. So when you have all of this abundance in one location, it's a place that would attract the highest of the high in terms of our monarchs and our ali'i. So it was a place that our ali'i chose to make the seat of their kingdom and of their rulership, for lack of a better word. But going back as early as the 15th century to one of our great ali'i, Pi'ilani, who many of our roads are named after. Our major road is Honua Pi'ilani in Lahaina, named after the great King Pi'ilani, or great ali'i. We didn't have kings back then, but his family was seated there. And there was a very, very sacred area in what's now considered Lahaina town called Mokuhinia, which was a wetland. Again, more water. and Moku'ula, which was an island situated in the middle of the wetland that folks often would take canoe or va'a to travel to. And some of our highest ali'i lived on Moku'ula, including all the way up to the kingdom period. It was actually the first capital of the kingdom of Hawaii when Kalikeaoli Kamehameha III penned the first constitution for the Hawaiian kingdom, which was one of the prerequisites for allowing us into the League of Nations, to legitimize us by Western standards, which is, you know, its own beauty and also problem in many, many ways. We can talk about that later. But it had what we call mana. Lahaina had mana. And mana is like a spiritual force. It's something that's palpable and tangible. It's something that we all have as human beings. But it's definitely something that exists in a place and in our aina. Aina means that which feeds. It's our land. And again, we go back to this theme of feeding, right? Because for people in the middle of the ocean, no food, no life. I mean, it's true for everybody, but we didn't have access as easily to other places to get food. So Lahaina, being this place of abundance, attracted our ali'i. And during the Pi'ilani kingdom, Pi'ilani had a daughter who was born as what we call e'epa, which means sort of special, gifted, connected to the spirit, maybe a channel. Some people might see that as, but definitely very, very manaful. And when she passed away, she was deified. There are ceremonies that transmute a human person into either an elemental deity or a deity that takes the form of something physical. And in this case, she took the form of a mo'o. Now, mo'o are, some people would say lizards. Some people compare them to dragons, but they're very, very powerful. They oftentimes live in the water. They can traverse underground through the lava tubes. They can go from island to island if they want to. But Kihawahine was very, very special. Carried so much mana and so much kapu, or sacred rules around her, that Kamehameha I, who united all of the islands and made us a kingdom, he carried her with him on that journey because she was so high and so sacred, along with his war god Kuka'ili Moku. So Kihawahine, being that deity of such a heightened stature and so much mana, is part of what makes Lahaina so incredibly important to our culture, because she's still with us, and she's still speaking through her descendants. In fact, since this situation, many, many descendants have spoken about the dreams they're having, the visions they're having about the return of Kihawahine. Maybe even in some respects, the wrath of Kihawahine, because what was done to her water systems, what was done to the cave systems and the karst systems that go underground because of things like overdevelopment, theft of water, plantation, monocropping, the removal of all of our native plants and all of our native medicines that once existed in that place. And many of those things have been completely erased in true settler colonial fashion and replaced with tourism and big business and concretization of her home. So there's so many other things about Lahaina. It's such a rich historical place. But unfortunately, what's happened because of settler colonialism in the past 130 years plus is people have come to know Lahaina as a tourist town. Before that, it was the sugar plantation town. Before that, it was a whaler's town. And even in modern history, people still uphold, you know, the narrative about this being this whaling town. And it was like such a fraction of time in our thousands of year history. But that's what gets promoted instead of our traditional Kanaka Maoli places, stories, people, and rich history.
So, again, a very interesting excerpt from the interview, you know, for those just joining us, that was an extended excerpt from the Healing Maui with Noelani Ahia interview. She was on the Red Nation podcast with Nick Estes. And that excerpt, that clip is titled Noelani Ahia on the Historical Importance of Lahaina to the Kanaka Maoli. And we have sort of lost, because of our own cultural assimilation over the generations, I think most Americans have lost any connection. It's interesting that the immigrants that come, you know, especially the European immigrants that came over before the Immigration Act of, what was it, 1965, I want to say, caused a seismic shift in immigration to America. But, you know, the European immigrants in particular that came over brought so much rich cultural heritage with them. And so much of that has been lost. You know, the first generation Americans seem to get Americanized. And, you know, you hear a lot about parents, or especially grandparents, saying, you know, don't lose that. It's just amazing how powerful a force this is, what I would call the Hellenistic influence from of old. I think that, you know, if you read Manly P. Hall's Secret Destiny of America, for example, you get the picture of the idea that America was always supposed to be the tip of the Atlantean spear, so to speak. Bacon's New Atlantis, that kind of stuff. And it's a very powerful, influential, coercive force. And so now we've lost sight of what she's talking about, largely. But there are also some nuances that I think it's easy to sort of overlook when she talks about the hydrologic cycle, for example. And, you know, how she says, the more trees you have, the more water goes up, the more rain we have, the more, you know, it's a cycle, obviously. It's the hydrologic cycle. And what has been happening in the continental United States over the last several years? Every year is a record fire year, and the trees are going away. What happens when millions and millions of acres of trees are burned every year? How does that affect the hydrologic cycle? And what happens to the carbon dioxide that would otherwise be consumed by the trees? Are we creating a dust bowl? How is it influencing weather patterns when that happens? Let's look today. I haven't looked today, but if we go to ncweb.wildfire.gov today, look at that. The entire western United States is on fire. What a surprise. Wonder why that is. You know, and you think about Maurice Strong, who was, you know, he was definitely an environmentalist. He was an environmentalist who made billions as a Rockefeller cutout in the oil industry. And he was the guy who said that we should rewild the entire North American continent. Basically the whole map. You remember Dr. Michael Kaufman shows up with this map. This is the map they had, and it was, you know, all of the red areas need to be rewilded. We have to get people off of these places. And the whole map was red. And a bit of nostalgia as we go to break. Way back in 2006, 2007, I did a show about a bill that was on the table in Olympia in Washington, and five people ended up going to Olympia and saying, we don't want that. Got put back in the drawer, but that was part of the Y2Y corridor way back then on the Washington Idaho border, the Idaho Panhandle, and the Spokane area. That was all going to be rewilded. So fun stuff. It's the long game. If you don't do it, they'll wait. It's okay. You know, like Hitler said, we got your kids. What are you? Where are your children going for indoctrination every day? It's ironic we talk about re-education camps. What do you think public school is? And those efforts go on largely unimpeded. So, it's crazy. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQRS.
This woman, she's like, oh, yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What?
Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, no.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
All right. As a final bit of levity, perhaps, because, you know, if we don't laugh, we'll cry for sure. I was just saying in the break, basically, that, you know, Julie said treating them like they're like the Indians were treated, take their land and put them in a corral. Exactly. And I say that's a fact. That's, you know, and we're all getting that treatment. We're all Palestinians, Native Americans, Africans, Hawaiians, you know, on and on the list goes, displaced and dispossessed whenever and wherever it suits some bad guy agenda. I mentioned the Dewey Oxberger thing from Stripes from time to time, the poker scene, the gambling scene, you know, where John Candy is fleecing his fellow soldier. This is fun, isn't it? Isn't this fun? So can we play that real quick, please? Whenever it's ready. Do we have that? No. No, you know what? I thought I sent that over. That's my fault. What am I talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. Hold on. Sorry. I thought I sent that over. I did not. Psych. There we go. Can we play that? Whenever you're ready.
Oh, I'm still in. Cruz, how about you?
Maybe I should fold.
Well, let me see. Let me see first. No, not with a hand like that. Come on. Dare me. Go on. Bluff me. Come on.
How much should I bet?
If it were me, I bet everything. But that's me. I'm an aggressive gambler. Mr. Vegas. Come on. Go for it. Go for it. Yes, yes. There we go. I'm in.
What you got?
Well, I got a full house. 3 threes and 2 sixes. That's a full house. What have you got?
Well, you have fours, I got an ace.
You got an ace, yeah. An eight, and a seven. Well, you lose, you see. If you would have had four fours, you would have won. You're getting good at this, aren't you? You like it? Isn't this fun? You're pretty good for
first. Isn't this fun? Taking advantage of his ignorance and naivete. I hear the words of Nesta Webster. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative, perhaps even edifying. Please support the network. And if you do, thank you. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Do you think we have time? These are the days of the open hand.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.